The Christian faith is a gift of God's grace. The Christian life is a gift of God's grace. We live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us.
Pastor Peter Bender talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
And that means that our Lutheran piety is also a gift. All too often we see it as another work of the law, something that we must do. Instead, Christ meets us there with his word and spirit, and in our daily devotional life, he teaches us what it is to live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us.
You can meet and hear Pastor Peter Bender making the case for Lutheran piety Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Secularism is the dominant religion in America, and I would say more specifically, secular progressivism is the dominant religion in many American institutions.
I have often said that the term adiaphron has become, in many instances, among us Lutherans, of the theological escape hatch.
If you want to know what it means to be a man, if you want a perfect picture of masculinity, get yourself a crucifix, because the cross is the most masculine thing that has ever happened.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
It's one of those teachings of Scripture highlighted in the 16th century Reformation that is rife for abuse. All teachings are rife for abuse. The truth is always subject to abuse by error. But this one, especially in an age where we think of ourselves as independent, autonomous, make up our own minds, blaze our own trails, Christian liberty and adiaphora, those two teachings that are kind of twin sisters in Scripture and Reformation theology, are rife for abuse. We're going to be talking about Christian liberty, part 14 of our series on Lutheran identity with Dr. Alvin Schmidt on this Friday afternoon, April the 28th. Greetings and welcome. We're coming to you live. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Dr. Alvin Schmidt, Molly Hemingway joins us, a Fox News contributor. We'll be talking with her about President Trump's first 100 days and a trans activist's opposition to President Trump's choice for director of the Office of Civil Rights. We'll spend some time with Wesley Smith discussing conflating science and politics. When we politicize science, does it remain science? Talk a little bit about Bill Nye in that conversation. Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us for This Week in Pop American Christianity. Bad Easter preaching will be the subject. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We've assembled four soundbites for you to listen to. And after you've listened, you can vote. You give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, or you can listen and vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to talk about one of the elements of Lutheran identity that is often deeply misunderstood and abused, Christian liberty and adiaphora, Dr. Alvin Schmidt, Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College and author of the book Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity. Dr. Schmidt, welcome back.
Glad to be with you again.
You've been a Lutheran a long time, Dr. Schmidt, and not to date you, but have you seen these two teachings that are hallmarks of Lutheran identity, both Christian liberty and adiaphora, have you seen them misapplied and abused in order to permit and promote both false teaching and practice?
Yes, all the time, and you see it in numerous places within our church, and it's very, very unfortunate. It's a term, adiaphora, is very commonly used on the lips of Lutheran pastors, particularly, I think, within the LCMS, maybe more than it is in other Lutherans, but they use it too. The term, as you and I know, is a Greek term, basically meaning things that are indifferent or not required, biblically speaking. In other words, they fall into the realm of Christian liberty in terms of what we may do in terms of practices. And so we see it abused in many, many cases. And for example, as I point out in the book, relative to the widespread practice of the last 25, 30 years of contemporary worship, as it's called, is often justified by those pastors and congregations who do it on the basis of invoking adiaphora. Adiaphora, by the way, is the plural, and adiaphron is the singular. I have often said, and I've even said this in a conference once in Fort Wayne Symposium, that the term adiaphron has become, in many instances, among us Lutherans, the theological escape hatch. In other words, it's quickly invoked and used to justify given practice, but failing to remember what Article 10 in the Formula of Concord says, which we have really forgotten. The Formula of Concord in Article 10 says that nothing is adiaphron if it involves confession and offense. In other words, when a given practice in the church may be theoretically adiaphora, not commanded or forbidden in the Bible, but if it offends Christians, it is no longer adiaphora. That is very clearly spelled out in a lengthy article, namely Article 10, which we have summarily either never really paid attention to when Lutherans took at the seminary course in the Lutheran Confessions, or it was lightly read and sort of forgotten. And so the term adiaphora is often used to justify practices that are often unbiblical. And may I say that when it's done, congregations and pastors get away with it. It is one of the problems that is, well, it's a tremendously important concept, because we don't want to be tied to the law when we don't have to be, for example, be tied to the law. There is such a thing as Christian liberty. Also interesting to know that, to my knowledge, as best as I can find, Luther never used the term. The term came in vogue and became popular after Luther's time, particularly as a result of the two interims that were opposed in 1548. In May, the Augsburg interim was introduced by Charles V, the emperor, to get Lutherans to conform to Roman Catholic practices. And roughly 6 months later, in December of 1548, the Leipzig interim basically replaced the Augsburg interim, and it's this particular interim, produced in Leipzig, Germany, now had people, particularly led by Philip Melanchthon, Luther's close friend and worker, consent to the impositions that Charles the Emperor V had imposed on him, namely that Lutherans had to accept bishops, for example, for confirmation, for ordination. They had to accept, for example, other ceremonies and rituals. And Melanchthon said, well, it's in a matter of adiaphora. We can do this. And of course, it immediately produced a tremendous conflict among Lutherans, the Gennasio Lutherans, who, for example, the term meant the genuine Lutherans, the real Lutherans, opposed Melanchthon and his followers. Melanchthon and his followers were called the Philippists, namely following his name Philip. And the Gennasio Lutherans debated and said, you are compromising basic biblical truth. And then, as a result of Matthias Flacius primarily, who introduced, for example, the concept of nothing is adiaphron when it involves a confession of faith or offends individuals. Now, I might also add that when people practice, and I discuss this in the book, practice what they call contemporary services, contemporary worship, it invariably causes offense. Many people will leave that congregation and go to another one. So in reality, when we practice what is called contemporary worship, it is never offense-free. It always offends some people. Thus, the concept of adiaphora no longer applies to it. Yet, It is done all the time, and basically congregations who do it survive, and I never really even challenge on the basis that they have violated Article 10 of the Formula of Concord.
So what is the importance of adiaphora? That's the abuse of it, which is rife, and I think you're quite right in the way you've described the instances and the examples there. What's the importance of maintaining the doctrine rightly?
Yes, well, we find even in the New Testament, the book of Colossians, for example, that we need not observe new moons and these kinds of things and Sabbath days in order to be a Christian. We need not, for example, as Luther himself said, eating pork is a matter of indifference, or, if you will, adiaphora. Christians, for example, should not be tied to the law legalistically when the Bible does not prevent us from doing a given practice. And, you know, just also because a given practice might be adiaphora doesn't necessarily say it's edifying, even if it were not contrary to the biblical teachings. For example, and let me cite a case that maybe is a little bit unordinary. There is nothing in the Bible that says a pastor can't do handstands in the pulpit. But would it technically, I guess it would be adiaphora. What would we say when a pastor would do this? We would say that he is abusing the liberty by doing this. Paul, for example, said, if meat that was dedicated to idols offends your Christians, he says, I myself will never eat it again. He was very, very concerned about offense. And if it doesn't offend a person, then you may eat it. One thing that I maybe should be hesitant to say it, but I've said this for many years, that we as Lutherans have often been kind of, what shall I say, deaf-mute to the matter of giving offense. Peter Grebner, many years ago, wrote an excellent little book where he devotes an entire chapter on the matter of offense, for example. We shouldn't be ignorant or unconcerned about offending people, because particularly if a Christian is of a weaker knowledge and faith, as St. Paul said, relative to not wanting to eat meat that was dedicated to idols, then we should not eat it. And Paul himself said, I will never then eat it again, because he didn't want to offend that neophyte Christian, if I may use that term, and lose him or her entirely. So that's exactly what, for example, we as Christians want to be concerned about. And when it gives offense, then the concept of adiaphora is really no longer, according to the Article 10 of the Formula Concord, correctly applied and understood or used.
We're talking about Christian liberty and adiaphora, part 14 of our series on Lutheran identity with Dr. Alvin Schmidt, Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College and author of the book Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity. You'll find a link to Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. And you can also call Concordia Publishing House and ask them for Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity by Dr. Alvin Schmidt. When we come back, he also says that we need to balance this idea of Christian liberty and adiaphora against two other scriptural teachings, the unity of the church and the fact that we exist as a church Catholic. We'll have him explain what he means next.
I'm delighted to be chairman of Preach the Word Project, a project of our synod to strengthen the preaching of all of us pastors in the synod. We know how eternally important that is.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Fikencher talking about the new Preach the Word project.
So we've put together a program of 12 modules that will be coming out this year and over the next 3 years on a variety of preaching topics for pastors to do together with two other pastors, two guys they trust, two guys they feel comfortable with, written materials and very fine video quality materials that are now becoming available.
Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching with several resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Find out more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. Preaching is challenging business. We all can use some fresh ideas. lcms.org/preachtheword.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at lutheranfcu.org.
Padres, ¿cómo pueden ustedes preparar a sus hijos a vivir en un mundo contracristiano donde la persecución crece más y más? Lean la edición de mayo de The Lutheran Witness para aprender sobre la enseñanza de la fe, que pertenece principalmente no al pastor, sino que a los padres. Visiten a cph.org/trylutheranwitness para una oferta especial. 6 ediciones digitales o impresas para $6.99. The Lutheran Witness, interpretando a un mundo contemporáneo desde una perspectiva cristiana.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Dr. Alvin Schmidt is our guest, author of the book Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity, our series on that subject. We take up the subject of Christian liberty and adiaphora. Dr. Schmidt, you also say that these notions of Christian liberty and adiaphora need to be balanced with the other teachings from Scripture and the Confessions on Christian unity and the fact, you say, that we exist as the Church Catholic. Explain that, if you would.
You know, when we have been influenced by, I would call it, British individualism, which is very much a part of our culture, we tend to ignore the fact of what we call in the Latin term the una sancta, the one church, historically, going back historically to the present day. When a congregation does its own thing, it basically is reflecting American or British individualism that is not beholden to anything, tradition in the past. And that was never the understanding. For example, Article 7 of the Augsburg Confession is often invoked by the people who like to practice adiaphron in a way that is not biblically committed, because Article 7 says it is neither necessary to be totally in agreement with ceremonies. But they did not talk about individual congregations in this instance. They talked about territorial churches. They also didn't talk about new orders of worship, so to speak, printed or written by the pastor, and a different one every Sunday. They had different ceremonies and rituals that were in existence, and that's what they were talking about. They didn't talk about innovative practices that varied from one Sunday to the next. And as a result, they were also, when people are doing this today, they're overlooking what Luther said. You know, when Luther was asked by his co-workers and others to translate the Catholic Mass into German, he eventually did. But for the longest time, he was hesitant to do so because he did not want to bring out different forms and understanding without the people properly understanding. In other words, Luther had a proper concept of adiaphron, even though he didn't use the term itself. He wanted to be cautious. But today, for example, we have often, well, I cite in the book examples I've seen and I've collected over the years, congregational bulletins that indicate great departure from historic Christianity, actually false doctrine, sometimes in given bulletins that become part of the morning liturgy. And again, it's done on the basis of, well, it's an adiaphron. No, it really isn't, as I said earlier, because when you offend people, Christians, well-meaning Christians, you are no longer practicing adiaphron, but actually, in many ways, doing the very opposite and ignoring the concept of giving offense, which I said a little while ago, we tend to ignore, and sometimes really should not, given what Paul told us in Corinthians about not eating meat if it's dedicated to idols, and if it offends a person, then don't do it until you maybe are able to instruct that in person and show that it's not a problem.
You say there also should be an eye toward what you call Christian collegiality. What do you mean by that?
Yes, pastors need to get together. For example, When a pastor decides with his congregation, we're going to depart from the traditional liturgy and we're going to print out an order of service every Sunday. He does it without getting together with fellow pastors. And I believe if we, the congregation that have really gone into contemporary worship, had sat down with pastors in a circuit level or in a district level, and brotherly looking at the situation, whether this is the way to do it in terms of a una sancta, if I may use the term, what the church, one church has done in the past. You see, when we follow the historic liturgy, as we do, for example, particularly in our present LSB hymnal, namely setting 3, we're harking back to the earliest years of Christianity and showing a tie and a linkage to those people. Whereas when you design your own order of worship that is divorced from this, you are an, sort of an island unto yourself, and you have basically ignored the una sancta, the one Christian church that continues to exist over the years to the present day. And that, as I said a moment ago, has a lot to do with our culture having moved us to think, well, we are an individual congregation, we may do what we please. It isn't deliberately said in the Bible, you can't do it, so we may do it. But that is where the problem lies. We have not practiced collegiality with other pastors who may have had a different, maybe, and quite often a different point of view, and been able to persuade those who want to depart from the traditional liturgy and do their own thing, so to speak. They might not have had they had the counsel and the advice and the input of fellow pastors.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College and author of the book Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity. Dr. Schmidt, thank you very much for being our guest.
My pleasure for being with you. Thank you.
Molly Hemingway will be with us on the other side of the break, a Fox News contributor. We're going to talk about President Trump's first 100 days and trans activist opposition to President Trump's choice for director of the Civil Rights Office. We'll be right back.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Here at Elm Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church, you'll find folks just like you, sinners in need of what only Christ can give, the full forgiveness of all of our sins. In a world where change turns things upside down, we serve a Lord who never changes and who has promised to be with us always until the very end of the age. If you find yourself in the Milwaukee suburbs, look us up. Elm Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church is the only Lutheran church in Elm Grove, Wisconsin.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things: the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us: broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. the College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
How do we find real masculinity with Jesus hanging on a cross? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is titled Man Up, The Quest for Masculinity. It's written by regular guest Pastor Jeff Hemmer. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Men in all stages of life will appreciate Man Up. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Man Up, 1-800-325-3040.